Hello, world. Welcome to Discover Your Talent, Do What You Love, number 210. I'm creator and host Don Hutchison. Every day, I interview someone from around the world who has discovered her talents to do work she loves, to create a life of success, satisfaction, and freedom. Once a week, I interview an expert from the fields of personal development, education, life, and career planning, who share experiences, tools, and insights to help our listeners along their journeys. Today, I'm delighted to bring you our featured expert, Vicky Murgatroyd. Welcome, Vicky.
Thank you very much, Don. It's awesome to be here.
Thank you so much. Vicky Murgatroyd was in her final year of university when her mom passed away. Looking for any way out of the fear, uncertainty, and sadness, she turned to drugs and soon developed a habit that could have destroyed her life. Taking responsibility, she decided it was up to her to change the course of her life and now runs a successful business coaching other female entrepreneurs to mindset transformations and empowering them to own their potential for ultimate success. So, Vicky, that's a brief summary of your career. Our topic today is how to create an unstoppable mindset. So you've been in this field for a number of years now. So for our listeners, will you set the table and tell us what this topic is about and why it's important?
Yeah, absolutely. Creating an unstoppable mindset is your seat of absolute freedom. Whatever you've got running through your mind, whatever you're thinking about, or whatever you've kind of built habits around thinking about and feeling about, is what you're going to create in your life ultimately. I think the trap that we end up falling into, because we're not taught any different from the get-go really, is that we concentrate on all the external circumstances and allow them to control us, when in actual fact, it's your mindset that controls your entire destiny. And when you get that unstoppable, literally the whole world just opens up to you.
Yes, I know you're familiar with all the thinkers in philosophy and spirituality and psychology and development and all. But I'm fascinated with how Eckhart Tolle talks about in The Power of Now, our mind is a vital tool, but it's a computer that just is on replay all the time.
Absolutely, completely and utterly. That's so your unconscious mind is what is driving all of those behaviors. And these behaviors can have been learned when you were, well, most of the behaviors are laid out before you're 8. They could have been laid out when you were 2. And it's just tiny little things that you can pick up on that then determine what you can create in your life, essentially, until you can kind of step back from that space. And that's when the unstoppable comes in. You can break the patterns and you can build the patterns that actually benefit you and allow you to create whatever you want.
Yes, it's amazing how the majority of people out there leading, you know, pushing their lives forward and leading successful lives in many ways, don't even have a clue about this dynamic, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it can be done without necessarily knowing what you're doing a lot of the time. I get to speak to quite a lot of women who are doing fantastic things, and they'll have kind of these mindset tricks, if you like, in place that just allow them to kind of overcome the barriers, but they've done that completely naturally. Unfortunately, a lot of the time there's more barriers that you set up without realizing it. But for some people, it's just a natural part of the way they've kind of developed their success. And definitely their success comes down to that as well.
How are you, when you were going through some very, very, very tough times with the passing away of your mother, and you were seeking all kinds of ways to find release from that, and what was it that triggered your way out? How did you do that?
I was actually studying journalism at the time, and I was doing a bit of a piece about the portrayal of health journalism and kind of the pitfalls that are put out to the general public in terms of what the information they're being fed. And kind of as support to that article, I started to research alternative health, and I started to look at all these, because I was a bit of a skeptic to say the least. And I started to look at all the statistics and the things that people had been able to do. And there was so much evidence that just pointed to you are in control. And I eventually ended up maybe 6 to 8 months afterwards, after that research project, having timeline therapy done on myself. And the shift was just indescribable. I think I'd had, even before my mum passed, to be honest, there was a lot of anger. There was a lot of built up emotion of all kinds, and usually it came out as anger. And I was just really unsettled and unhappy in myself. And the speed that shifted, I had no idea that was possible. I think it's just extraordinary how much the human mind can adapt and develop to the stresses that it's put under. So you just become that becomes your normal state kind of thing. And then as soon as it shifted, it was like coming home.
Yes.
Probably the best way I could put it.
Yes, yes. Did that lead you into a deeper study into this whole area? This whole, how do you describe this area? What's the rubric under which this falls?
NLP. I studied NLP and master NLP, yeah.
Okay. And that's neuro-linguistic programming?
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
What was the start? How did that get started? I've heard about it and I've experienced a lot of things, but I haven't experienced NLP. What was the genesis of that?
It was Richard Bandler and John Grinder. They were researching Virginia Satir and Milton Erickson and just looking at the ways that they could create such phenomenal change in their clients compared to other therapists who were supposedly doing the same modality, I suppose, but the results were just incredible. It was based on the process of modeling. So they started to look at specifically what they were doing, because everybody is the same when you get down to it, but people have processes in place that produce a different result. And that's exactly what they were looking into. But if somebody can do it, then somebody else can do it. It's just a matter of modeling their process, like the whole stand on the shoulders of giants, I guess, just be in that presence and understand their techniques, their natural talents, I suppose.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. They started this a long time ago, didn't they? I mean, how old is this process?
Oh, maybe 40 years,
okay.
Maybe.
Okay, good. Well, how can you frame it for listeners so that they can benefit from your knowledge and your experience? I mean, how can we talk about this in ways that there can be some tools or insights or resources that they might benefit from?
Absolutely. I think you brought up a great teacher, I guess, in Eckhart Tolle. His A New Earth, he talks a lot about the ego. And I guess in his terminology, that the ego is the unconscious mind that's driving those behaviors. And, you know, the reactions that are you basically jumping to your own defense. Whereas in actual fact, you are the awareness behind that that response. The fact that you're aware of that response means that's what you are. If that makes sense.
It makes total sense. I'm a big Tolle fan. It's a hard concept to grasp because everybody thinks they're their mind.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I guess that consciousness, that being aware, being, again, the power of now, slowing it down, being in the moment, because all you're doing when you rerun those old behaviors is you're replaying that pattern. You're just solidifying that pattern. And that pattern will fire really quick if you don't have the awareness to bring it back. So I guess just being really present and being really aware and also looking at the purpose behind the behavior. Why is it that you're getting angry? What is your actual goal and purpose behind the behavior? Because a lot of people, as I say, that behavior's run for so long, there's no connection to that anymore. You just run it on autopilot. And Yeah, I guess that's where the detriment comes into you, because you have no control necessarily of it. But when you get that awareness back, you bring it into your conscious awareness, you've got all the control.
Yes. So we have this ego. Well, you can break it down far better than I can. We have our thoughts. We have our we're thinking every day, going along and doing our work and being in relationships and feeling good, feeling bad. And so we have these thoughts about it. So there's that, however that is housed. And then we have our awareness or consciousness. Is that how you'd frame it? Our consciousness, which subsumes the ego. How do you frame that?
Yeah, precisely. And that consciousness is what you are naturally. It's not a difficult thing to get back to, but it takes awareness. You're in a forest. You come to a forest and it's really thick. You just have a machete and you cut yourself a path through this forest. Now, the second time you come to that same bit of forest, you're going to go and take the path that you've already cut for yourself. And the more you take that path, the more laid it becomes, if you like. That's how we lay neural connections in our brain. That becomes a really quick automatic reaction because that's now the path of least resistance. But the minute you become aware and you're looking at the purpose, you create new neural connections, but you have to have that awareness of what you're doing. That always has to precede any change that you're going to make, has to be the awareness. And that just, yeah, as I say, brings you right back to who you really are, takes the ego defensiveness out of it, and it just allows you to just be.
Mm-hmm. We had another expert on who was talking about marketing. She's been in brand marketing for 30 something years with the biggest companies and consulting the biggest companies. And, you know, she made the point that 95% of our purchase decision on products or services are out of our feeling state.
And wow.
Yeah. Well, it's what you're saying, isn't it? I mean, it's our unconscious makes those decisions. And then our logic comes in for the other small percentage to frame it and say, oh, yeah, okay, this is why this makes sense.
Yeah, it, absolutely. 95%, that's incredible.
Yeah, I know. It's like we're, all these doors are opening up. So what's next? Take us through some examples, or if you're leading a class, or I know you're doing a workshop now, but just what other, how would you frame this for listeners from whatever perspective? What's an entry point that might be palatable for them?
I think probably the best entry point is for you to put it into practice and start to recognize how much you can change your mood, your responses, your reactions in just being conscious, in just being present. And it really is as simple as that. Be aware. We name these emotions that we experience from a very young age. We put all these sensations, we kind of categorize them, lump them in under one singular word, say, is it stress? Is it anxiety? Is it worry? Whatever it is. And then all these sensations suddenly just become, oh, this one thing. But really, when you break it down to the sensations, that's all they are. It's just sensations that we then interpret. And as soon as you can get back to really just breaking it all the way back down to the basics, start to look at, okay, so when I'm feeling like everything's too much and I can't possibly get the result that I want at work, in my business or whatever, then what's going on at a deeper level? Because all you've done is compound a whole heap of things that are going on into this huge big deal. And I guess it's just picking it apart and bringing it back down to the very basics. There'll be a set of sensations that you're feeling. There'll be a set of thoughts running through your mind. There'll be a physiology that matches the thoughts. And your physiology is a great thing to shift. There's, you've seen a person with depression, for instance, you'll never see them standing up really straight, looking up at the sky with mm-hmm. loads of muscle tension. Mm-hmm. So your physiology can be a really, really great shortcut into how you want to feel.
That's well said. It's such an abstraction. It's almost impossible to describe. When people talk to me about meditation, and I've done meditation mm-hmm. for decades, they say, well, I've tried to do that, but I can't sit still, or I can't turn my mind off. Or, you know, and I say, I understand that the notion of just, however, is that Zen phrase, chop wood, carry water, right? Mm-hmm. So when you're stressed out, as you say, and you put it all under the rubric of, I'm mad at my boss or my spouse or I don't feel good or whatever, and you just got this overarching feeling of anger or hopelessness or frustration or whatever,
Absolutely.
It's just one little piece of it. If you just wash the vegetables for your salad and pay attention to washing the kale, right? It sounds absurd, but it's not. You know, let's wash the kale. You know, let's groom the dog. Let's take
let's be in this moment, which is the only moment that you have.
That's the only moment there is.
I think it's in Tolle's A New Earth. Sorry. Where he talks about this, I think it was a group of monks, and they were walking along, and this woman, there was kind of a flooded area. There was so much water in the road, and one of the monks went and picked this woman up so she didn't ruin her silk robes, and he carried her over the water and he put her down the other side. And so it was maybe, I think he said it was about 5 hours down the road, and the other monk said, how could you do that? You know, we aren't allowed to do that. And the other monk turns to him and he says, well, I put her down 5 hours ago. It seems like you are still carrying her.
Precisely.
And that just sums it up to perfection.
Yes, it does. You're still carrying her.
Yeah.
Okay, what's next?
That's how we live our lives.
Yes, exactly right. We just carry around this baggage. And now nothing's to me more exciting in business or in marketing or whatever than this amazing thing called the internet. We're on it with podcasting and marketing and so forth. It's amazing. But the downside is, so much of the time, it forces you to just live in your mind.
Yeah, very true. Very true. And we never really switch off from, it's amazing the connections that we can have and around the world now so easily, but we never switch off from that. And all of your focus just seems to go into anything but you.
Exactly.
You know, our TV culture and everything else just takes that focus away from you. And you're never actually checking in with yourself to see what's going on and what's really the driver of these behaviors.
I love what Tolle said about being conscious, because, again, it's such an abstraction. You know, what is being conscious? And it is difficult to explain in a way. How do you know you're here now? And Tolle says, when you realize you're unconscious, you're conscious. So if you realize you're in your head and you're angry or you're obsessively thinking about something, but then you pull back and say, wait a minute, I'm angry and obsessively thinking about something.
Exactly.
That's your consciousness saying, hey, you're just being in your egoic mind.
Exactly. And that's coming home to who you really are, that awareness. And really, it is the monk story. We carry this stuff for so long because we're replaying it. You'll just kind of run over an argument that you had earlier or a client that you didn't serve properly or whatever it is, and you'll keep it with you all day long and even, you know, into the next days, whereas you're missing out on so much magic that's going on around you because you're so stuck in that ego. And it is just, how did that event affect me? And then essentially you're just punishing yourself for much longer.
And you can make decisions to do something about it or to let it keep torturing you for the day or to let it go. You know,
absolutely.
Those are your choices. And just because people don't seem to have the tools, and I didn't have the tools for some of my early life at all. I didn't know how any of this worked.
Absolutely.
And then once I got it, I thought, wow, this is a healthy way to do this. Okay, so tell us something else. Give us some more insights or tools that would help listeners.
I would say a lot of our work that we do, actually, we kind of look at where the behavior is learned from. And this can be a really, really powerful tool. As I said, your unconscious mind is a whole big database of all of your behaviors, but also it's a database of every single memory that you've ever had, that you've ever made. You know, how you can walk into somebody's house, you can smell a certain smell, it'll take you back to a certain time, just like that. But all that stuff is what's going on in your mind. That's what's driving the behaviors. So if you can create that congruence between your conscious and unconscious mind by very simply asking, what is the root cause of where this behavior came from? You can always find where the behavior came from. Now, how we do it is when we're working with a client is that we deal with that event and that emotion from a dissociated point of view. So say when you're younger, you're in a relationship in your teenage years, say, and your friend, she's in a relationship at the same time. Her guy doesn't treat her very well. Your guy doesn't treat you very well. But when you look at her relationship, you can see that he doesn't treat her very well. You can see that she deserves better. You can see that really it's not working at all. But then you look straight back at your relationship, which contains the same dysfunction, but you don't see it at all. You make the excuses and you're clouded by the emotion.
Wow.
So when you can separate from that, and again, it's just that being the awareness and connecting with what's going on in actual fact, rather than your emotional attachment to what's going on, it's so empowering, so empowering.
Oh, truly amazing. How do people pull back from the exigencies of the day, the hour, to stay present? What are the best ways to do that?
I think probably in most forms of meditation, one of the easiest ways to get into the moment is to focus on your breath, to focus on something physical. Again, it takes you out of your mind and just brings you, your breath is always in the present. And it just brings you straight out of your head. A lot of times people will really struggle with this. Now, the more you struggle with being in the moment and bringing yourself back into focus in the present moment, the more you need it. People who don't have time to meditate, that's the time you need it most. And yeah, just practice. How many hours a day is it? Something ridiculous like 7 hours a day. The average person watches TV in the States, or some ridiculously high number. If you can't find 5 minutes as you first wake up or when you're first going to bed to just bring your attention to yourself, there's definitely work that you need to be doing.
The breathing, it sounds so obvious. You say, well, I breathe. All I do is breathe. So why is this any different? Why is this special? What do I think about? Do I have to be sitting someplace special? What do you say to that?
I would say no. If you want to set yourself up with a solid meditation practice, I'd really recommend that you take yourself to a certain space, because basically your body just becomes used to that space and it'll be easier and easier for you to get into that state of meditation. But initially, just bring that awareness back, because you're going to notice all those sensations that you used to label and that you used to feel stuck within will just drop away, and bring your focus just to your breath. Just notice as you breathe in, notice as you breathe out. If you need to, count your breath, but it's not necessary. But just that is the easiest way to just get completely present. And also, if you're in the middle of a reaction, and perhaps it's not the best time for you to notice your breath, notice the sensations. Notice where specifically you feel certain things, and just that in itself breaks that old pattern, that old the path of least resistance that we just talked about. It just breaks that down because it adds a new element into it, and it puts you again straight back in control. And that's what it's all about.
Mm-hmm. What was that? The book actually written by some folks at Harvard many years ago called The Relaxation Response. Does that ring a bell with you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's where they talked about making, instead of making a meditation sound so ethereal and, oh my gosh, it's some Eastern mumbo jumbo, they talked about, and which is where all this started a long time ago. It was never mumbo jumbo. But anyway, they talked about counting your breath and inhale, exhale, one, inhale, exhale. Didn't they just keep saying, yeah. Didn't they keep saying one? You didn't even count, you didn't even complicate it by saying two, three, four. You just said inhale, exhale, and you think to yourself, you don't say it, you think one, right? And then you do it again. And it just, your mind can't start, your mind will be thinking during this, but it won't necessarily get off on some rift that takes you away from the present moment. Is that the way it's done?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's the key as well, is to go into it without any expectation. Just be aware that your mind will wander. It's going to do that. But the fact that you're now aware that your mind is wandering shows you how far you've come. Because again, you're in the present, you're noticing
right.
it.
Right.
A lot of the time, your mind will just pinball around. You've got 100 thoughts bouncing around your head at the same time, but you're not aware of it. And that's the trap. So as soon as you are noticing it, just bring your attention back to your breath. Wow. Just be present.
Wow, yes. What are the palpable outcomes that you see with women that you work with? What happens? Does it take, do they see it pretty quickly? I know it varies from person to person, but what are the typical outcomes?
I guess it all comes down to empowerment. I think that's what it's all about for me and for the women that I work with, is that, I guess, a kind of a quiet confidence that you get when you realize that you can actually do whatever it is you choose to do. And you can do it exceptionally well by being in control of yourself, by just having that awareness, just switching on to yourself and what you're bringing to the table. And from that state of mind, I guess the opportunities and that you create in your life and the doors that it opens for you are just phenomenal. So although it may seem like, especially because I work with women who are in business, our general thing is that we want to work specifically on the business and we want to do these cash building activities. But actually, if you step back from that and work on yourself, you're the driver, you're the creator, and you work on yourself, it's just phenomenal. And again, yeah, it's all about enjoying it while you do it. You can build a multi-million-dollar business, but if you're not loving your life, then is there any real point for you to do that? Not in my opinion.
No, there isn't. I can imagine that your clients come back to you after they've been working with you for a very short period of time and share amazing stories about how situations that had made them frustrated, anxious, angry, crazy, worried, don't do it anymore, don't happen anymore.
Absolutely. I think one of the key things is sleepless nights. A lot of the women I work with, they'll have ridiculously short amounts of sleep when we first start working together. And then even just a couple of weeks in, they'll start talking about, you know, they had a fantastic sleep. They're actually waking up with energy. They feel great. And it's just, that is what I love about the work that I do, is that feedback of people actually getting to live the life that they want because they feel comfortable and confident in themselves again.
Yes, exactly. Particular books or resources that that you like that you could share with listeners?
I read a phenomenal book recently, Joe Dispenza, one of his Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself. And I've been doing the meditations that are in the back of there for a while now. And it's just mind blowing. Like with, you know, the personal development world, as you know,
yes.
But it's just phenomenal. And the case studies and the relatable way that he gives you the kind of evidence that you need to completely change your life. Is just awesome.
What's the title again?
Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself.
I love that.
It's a great title, isn't it? A great title.
Okay, well, good. This has been wonderful. Thank you so much, Vicky, for being with us today. How do listeners get in touch with you?
The email is answers@lifeempowermentproject.com. And also, we absolutely love to give away great content, really as much value as we possibly can. It's all about serving serving the interests of the people who follow us. So lifeempowermentproject.com. We've got plenty of resources. And yeah, we just love it when you get in contact.
Excellent. Excellent. Thank you so much. Well, listeners know you can go to discoveryourtalentpodcast.com to podcast and put in Vicki Murgatroyd and find the highlights, the summary and show notes of this fine interview, as well as the links. So thank you, listeners, for joining us as always on our podcast. You know that we have a infographic. If you go to our homepage, What Do Highly Successful People Actually Do to Succeed? 12 Proven Career Building Strategies to Help You Do What You Love, which are lessons from men and women who are thinkers and innovators in various fields for centuries. And we've had great feedback to it. It's free and might be a Kickstarter for where you are in your life. You can also subscribe for free on iTunes and Stitcher. If you like interviews like this, then join us. We would love to have you be a member of our tribe and let us know how we can serve you best. In closing, every one of us is born with unique talents and gifts. We don't learn them. We cannot ignore them. They're just a part of who we are, our DNA. Whenever we discover them and use them in our lives and careers, we do not merely survive, we thrive in every way possible. So until next time, all my best, and whatever you do, have fun out there today.